Are you ready to hear about some hidden treasure? Good. Three of you are. The rest of you, you're not going to get your treasure. I was 12 years old. Listen, I'm going by memory on a lot of this stuff here. The facts are as close as I can remember them. But I was 12 years old. I was walking down the hall of West Junior High School. And I seen this pretty little blonde-haired girl bebopping down the hall holding Troy Umphress's hand. Troy Umphress was a good-looking guy, man. He had curly brown hair, you know, nice-looking fella. But she was just about the prettiest thing I'd ever seen in my life. She had blue eyes and braces and this little bobbed haircut. And I seen her, and I said, now right there goes a treasure. I don't know what all that means, you know, back at 12 years old, but I knew it was special. I knew something inside of my heart went cha-ching. And I knew that she was not going to be holding Troy Umphress's hand for long. And I somehow got introduced to Lori. At 12 years old in the band room, if I remember right. And this coming month, November the 13th, we got married on November the 13th, and it was a Friday, the 13th. So we're not superstitious at all. And so we're fixing to celebrate our 34th wedding anniversary. 34 years! We have seen a lot of stuff in 34 years. But now, we've been married 34 years, but we've been boyfriend and girlfriend since we were 12 years old. Had one little shakeup. And you know what? She don't let me forget it. It's like, that happened, Lori, that happened 40 years ago. Well, it still happened. It still happened. And so we got married right out of high school. We were 18 years old. Had probably more going against us than we did for us. A lot of people saying, that ain't going to make it. To all of you, I am sorry. It did. And was it easy? No. Is it easy? No. But would I want to do it with anybody else? No. No, no, no. So we started our family off really young. And had three kids. We had Amber, then we had Grayson, and then we had Elizabeth. And Elizabeth came along, and that's why we didn't have Sam. Whoo, you know her. You know her. The bad thing about being a pastor's kid is I get to talk about my kids. But there's a point to my stories this morning because I do have stories to tell you, and buddy, they are good. And the first one goes like this. My father-in-law reminded me of it. He called me up the other day and he said, hey, you remember when Elizabeth was little and she was outside playing and y'all lived over in DeWitt Circle and y'all was backed up next to the swamp and Elizabeth come running in the house. Now, I did not remember this. She came running in the house. Matter of fact, I think you made this story up. She come running in the house, and she was going, Mama, 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 there's a bear in the backyard. And Lori goes, there is no bear in the backyard, Elizabeth. Your imagination is running wild from you, and that is a lie, honey. You're telling a story. So I want you to go up to your room right now, and I want you to talk to God about all this. And do not come down until you're finished talking to him about this. Well, it wasn't 10 minutes later, and here was Elizabeth back down in the playroom just to play it. Lori goes in there and says, what are you doing? Why are you not upstairs? She said, oh, I talked to God about it. And Lori says, well, what did he say? He said, don't be too hard on yourself, Elizabeth. The first time I seen that big black dog, I thought it was a bear too. I thought that was a bear too, you know? Now, I don't believe that story's true. Matter of fact, I know it's not true. I think he stole that from John Hagee. But it is a great story that describes Elizabeth's personality to a T. Now, Amber is a lot different. She's extremely pastoral. She wants to help everybody. She sees no wrong in anybody, only the good. She loves everybody, and she would never, ever, ever hurt a soul intentionally. Just wouldn't happen. I remember she would line her baby dolls up when she was a kid and have church. When we would visit my great aunt who was in a wheelchair, Amber would decide me and Aunt Nip are going to have church today. And she would literally lead my aunt into church. Great memories. Elizabeth, she's a whole lot more prophetic. She can see things coming from a distance. She can see the good and the bad in people. And then she proceeds to help them understand what she sees. At age 4, we were at the beach. Elizabeth had a pail, and she would run down to the surf, and she would grab a bucket of water. She would come back up on the beach, and she would dump that water out, and she'd watch it disappear into the sand. She'd run back, and she'd grab another bucket of water, and she would come back, and she'd done this for hours. And I finally said, "What are you doing?" She says, "I'm making all this water disappear." She was making it disappear, full of faith, full of hope, and extremely prophetic. Now, Grayson is an old soul. There is no other way to put it. If you think he's going to get up and go fast, not happening. He is 28, and I think I seen him run for the first time yesterday because we were chasing an animal that got out, and that animal got pinned up, and Grayson ran. I mean, I just stopped. I was like, "Dude, I didn't know you could do that." And he was so fast. But he's straight to the point. He don't say a lot. But when he speaks, it is to the point. There are no gray areas. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. And he may do wrong, but when he does, he will never call it right. Oh, it's wrong, but I did it. Grayson, where Amber's more pastoral and Elizabeth more prophetic, Grayson is extremely worshipful. And in the midst of his worship, there is a peace that is unbelievable, that just falls. He can see the good in people. He can see the bad in people. But rather than address them, he would much rather pray for them. You know, when God gives you a gift, it is without repentance. And that gift always transcends our natural and mental state. It just does. It's bigger than you are, the gift of God in you. And after Grayson's accident on his motorcycle, that kid couldn't remember 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes, he was telling us the same thing over and over and over. It was like 10-second Tom on 50 First Dates, just over and over and over. It would literally drive you crazy, but not as much as it frustrated him, because he would get afraid because he couldn't remember what happened 5 minutes ago. And when he would get that way, you would hear him go upstairs. He would just disappear. And the next thing you know, you would hear that guitar start to play. And he may have couldn't remember what happened 5 minutes ago, but he could remember every worship song he had been taught his entire life. And he would begin to play. And that worship brought healing. And it brought peace. And it has been a huge part of his restoration. Now, this morning, I'm talking to you about hidden treasure. And before the service is over, you will get the point by all the stories I'm telling you. And you will know a whole lot more about me and my kids and my family than you may want to know. At a young age, my son, Grayson, his grandpa died, which was my father-in-law. And his name was Bud Wells. What a man. Just a great guy. And we were at the funeral home. And Grayson was walking around. This place was packed because Buddy was the baseball coach of the town. So everybody knew him and everybody would come out. And Grayson was in such a depressed place. I mean, he was really upset to be so young, but he understood everything going on. And he said, "Daddy, I'm really going to miss Grandpa Bud." And I said, "Well, what are you going to miss about him, Grayson?" He said, "I'm going to miss our talks because he would let me talk and he would listen. I'm going to miss that." Well, what you didn't know about Grayson is he had a little speech impediment, and he never shut up. He talked all the time. But Bud would sit there in that truck, and they called him Boomerang, and they would talk over and over and over. And I learned what a treasure Grayson was to his grandpa because he gave him that much time. And I also learned that day that I should be a better listener from a little 4-year-old boy. Now, he quickly got over his depressions. He went and got a bunch of funeral home fans, and the line went on for 5 hours. It was a 5-hour line. It was supposed to have been a 2-hour line. The line was 5 hours. People were lined up a mile down the street, and there's a little blonde-haired boy walking through the funeral home selling fans for $1 apiece. And they came up and they said, "Steve, there's a little kid over there selling these fans." And I said, "Oh, Grayson." So I go find Grayson and I say, "Son, you can't sell these fans for $1 a piece. Can't do it. Just can't do it." He said, "Do you think I can get 50 cents? Smart, smart. Now, when it comes to defending the weak, Psalms 82 tells us to defend the weak. Proverbs 31:8 says, "You open your mouth for those who cannot speak." My translation. Now, Amber, she will try to help a bully change his or her ways while mending the wounds of the one who is oppressed. It's just in her nature. She wants to help them all. There's a reason why you're like this. Let's figure that out. You know, we need to help you change your ways. Grayson, he would help the oppressed one up, the one that was beaten up. He would tell him, "Hold your chin up. Things are going to get better." And then when nobody is looking at all, he would pull the bully to the side and said, "Don't ever let that happen again." Now, Elizabeth would handle it this way. Got a call from her principal when she was in third grade. Got a call from her principal a lot. Said, "Please come pick up your daughter from school. She's been in a fight." I said, "Okay." When I get there, I said she was holding up the wall, but she was literally standing on the wall because that was her punishment. And but she was waiting on me to come get her. And I'm telling you right now, when she seen me, she was ready to go home. She was done with all that. "I am ready to, let's go get something to eat. I'm ready to go home." And she was fuming mad. And I said, "Well, what happened? What happened? I mean, you know you're not supposed to be fighting. What happened?" She said, "Well, there was this kid. And for the past week, I'd watched this little boy go around." Little boy now, mind you. "He would push everybody down, and all those little kids would just cry and cry and cry. And so I just couldn't take it anymore. I went over there, and I knocked him down. And I beat him up. And I asked, 'How did you like the way that felt?' And I said, 'You got in trouble?' She said, 'Yeah, I got in trouble.' I said, 'You feel like you've been punished enough?' She said, 'Yep, I've been punished.' I said, let's go home. Because one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the one about David. It said, David was found at home sitting on his porch when all the kings went out to war. There's a time you got to fight. And if David would have been fighting, he wouldn't have gotten the trouble he had got into. Now, I don't condone Elizabeth beating that little kid up. But, hey, she made her point. Different. Now, when it comes to healing, Jeremiah 17:14 says, heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Amber prays for everything that is sick. She's going to lay her hands on it. She's going to anoint it with oil. It don't matter if it is a little goat or if it is somebody coming in and out of her shop. She's going to do it. Grayson is more specific. He's been healed so many times. He got spider bit in the mission field, and it was a poisonous spider. And the Lord miraculously healed that little boy's leg because it swelled up 3 times bigger than it was supposed to be. This guy came in, prayed for him, and Grayson, about 7 years old, he said, listen, the devil won't bother us again. My leg is healed. I said, well, how do you know the devil's not going to bother us again? He said, because I seen him leave. He's not going to bother us again. And then we were messing around with our horses, and one kicked him in the leg, and he ruptured his femoral artery. Come on. So I'm in a panic, rush to the hospital, get in there. They do the ultrasound, and sure enough, it's ruptured. You can hear the blood coming out of it. I want the VHS recording, but they would not give it to me because Grayson kept on saying, it's not. It's just a bruise. Tomorrow's opening day of hunting season, and I'm going hunting. I do not have time for surgery. And within 30 minutes, the doctor came back in, and after they had done an MRI, he said, it's just a bruise. He can go home in a little bit. And Grayson says, and I'll be hunting in the morning. Then he went with our youth group to Gatlinburg on a skiing trip. And out of all the kids, he was the one who hit the dry spot on the side of the mountain and flipped over and ripped his nose off. I was in a panic. I was watching a movie. Me and Lori had gone out to watch a movie. And I remember getting up out of the movies, getting in the car, and we drove around and around and around the block. She said, what are you doing? I said, well, I don't know whether I need to go up there. I don't know what I need to do. I'm just kind of waiting. So I talked to our youth pastor, Jason, and he said, hey, Grayson's fine. There's not a problem. He's good. He said that he can heal up here just as easy as he can heal at home. And then another kid calls and tells me, man, it looks like somebody slaughtered somebody on the side of that mountain. There's blood everywhere. Grayson has put us through it. He has put us through it. Now, Elizabeth, she's a great believer in healing. So much to the point that I get a call from school. Can you come pick Elizabeth up? Well, sure, I can come get Elizabeth. I said, it's awful early. What's wrong with her? Well, she says she's sick. All right, well, I'll be right down and get her. And I'm working. So I go get her, and I bring her back. Pastor Carl's in his office. The first place she goes is in there to see her buddy, Pastor Carl. Climbs up in his lap. He says, baby, do you feel bad? I do. I feel so bad, Pastor Carl. Do you want me to pray for you? No, absolutely not. Don't pray for me now. I said, if you pray for me now, then I'll get healed and my dad will take me back to school. Can you wait till after 11, Pastor Carl, before you pray? You know? We moved down here, literally, I think because Amber prayed us here to be a part of a group called King's Kids. And King's Kids would get together, and they would put on little worship things and go to different churches, and it was a mentor training kind of thing with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And but there's a scripture that says Psalms 56:6 about worship. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now, in King's Kids, we were here. All these little kids, like 50 of them, would get together, and they would worship, and they would learn dance, and they would learn interpretive motion, and then we would go and perform at different churches, literally. Amber, when it came to worship, let's line up. Everybody line up in rows, get in rows. We're about to start worship. Grayson, I'll do it, but I'd rather do this in private. Elizabeth, well, just make sure you put me on the front row so everybody can see me. Kind of getting the point, they're all different, extremely different. Now, my kids, I don't want to paint a picture that's not true. They're not all the time spiritual. They're just not. And I would say they live their life full of faith. They trust in Jesus with their whole heart, but they are about as real can be. They make sure that Jesus is involved in every part of their life. Now, several years ago, me and Lori was at the Bass Pro Shop. It was during Bike Week. And if you've ever been down to Myrtle Beach to Bass Pro Shop, you know that when you come out the door, Hooters is right over in front of it, right? So we come out the door, and Hooters is right there, and there's this big, like, flatbed truck. It's got a dancing pole on the back of it. If you don't know what that is, I call it a stripper pole. On the back of that truck, Lori goes, "Do you see that?" I said, "I do." Amber goes, "Oh, my." Grayson goes, "Let me see." Elizabeth goes, "I want one of those." You know, just extremely different. Now, these kids have my DNA, and they have Lori's DNA running through their veins. And they have inherited so many of our traits and our personalities. They're all dreamers. They're all visionaries. They all have an entrepreneurial spirit. They all are hard-working kids. They've worked hard their whole life because on the farm, if you didn't feed your horse is going to die. If you don't clean out that stall, that horse is going to be living in muck. That is your responsibility. It's not mine because that is your animal. You have to take care of it. So they learn to work hard as little kids, and they take that with them through their life. And as much as they have in their lives, like me and Lori, they are very different. Psalms 139, 13 and 14 says, this is David speaking to God, "For you have formed me in my innermost part. You knitted me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you." Can you just hear that? "I praise you, Father, because I know that I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made." How many of you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? How many of you could say, "Father, I praise you, because I know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made"? Well, if you don't know that, I'm telling you this morning, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You should look in the mirror and say, "What a great looking guy or girl I am, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." That wonderful means set apart, separated, and distinguished. And you may think that God got involved in your life when you were born. But the truth is, far before you were born, God was involved with every single detail of your life because he formed you in your mother's womb. He has been a part of you since before you were a thought. Genesis 1:27 says, "We were created in God's image, made in God's image, and we're unique like no other person." The people you don't like, I am sorry, but they were made in God's image. Sorry. And they are extremely unique. That may be why you don't like them, because he may not be like you. But they're made in God's image. They're made in God's image. Now, my kids favor me and Lori. They all have blonde hair, and they all have blue eyes. And none of us are very tall. And I'm assuming our man outside with the balloons has arrived because she's getting up leaving. And you know what? We should favor God. We should favor him. We should look like him. I encourage you to go back and read Psalms 139 because it's a beautiful picture of how God is involved in every single aspect of our lives. The first 12 verses discusses how no matter where David went, God was always with him. In verse 2, God knew David's thoughts. In verse 3, God knew David's ways. In verse 4, God knew David's words. You can't escape God because God is everywhere. He knows your thoughts. That was a bad thought. Well, he knows it. He knows it. You can't hide that. He knows your ways. You might be really good or you might be a little nasty. But he knows it. Can't hide that. And he knows your words. Oop. Sometimes I have to go, I'm so sorry, God. He knows our words. And we're talking about hidden treasure. And you know, if you have a treasure, you don't want to lose it. And if it's lost, you definitely want to find it. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I got a highlight right here, and it says, playing hide and seek with God. Luke 19:1-10, you know the story. It's about a little fellow named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, and because of his physical abilities, you know, he had heard Jesus was coming into town, and because of his physical limitations and his physical, they would say a disability now, he was so short he couldn't see Jesus. So he went and climbed up, and I always thought he kind of hid in a sycamore tree, trying to hide. But he just had to see Jesus. And when Jesus came along, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. Come down out of that tree. And then in verse 10, it says, Jesus said this, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's what he told Zacchaeus. So we may be good at hiding from God, or at least we think we may be good at hiding from God, but I promise you this, God is a whole lot better at seeking us out than we are at hiding. And he is the only one that's good at saving. There is no other name by which we can be saved. And I want you to know this. If you don't hear anything else, you are a treasure worth seeking. And you are a treasure worth saving. Now, some treasure may be broken by those who hunt treasure, but they're so excited when they find it that they pull it up, a relic or whatever, and they begin to restore it. Have you ever watched those shows on TV where they will drop something down in the ocean and they'll pull up something off of a wrecked boat and it may be broke, but they're still so excited. It may be broken, but my gosh, we found it. And they begin to restore it. God is the great restorer and the great refurbisher. So no matter how broken you think you are still his treasure. Matthew 6:21, Jesus tells us to store our treasure in heaven. And he goes on to say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, you've heard me talk about my kids this morning. Oh my goodness, they're my treasure. I love those guys. I treasure them. Lori, oh, I treasure her. She's precious to me. I want to keep them safe. I want to keep them protected. I want to do my job as a father and as a husband to make sure they have everything they need, that I keep them polished and looking as good as I can, especially when they were home. But now my children have all grown up, and we have more treasure added to our family. five little boys, all under the age of 7. Whoa. And I love those little treasures as bad as they are. But I have recently learned that our 5 will become 6 very soon. Chelsea, thank you. And we're going to find out if it's a little boy or a little girl. But we're going to be happy with whatever. And if it's a little girl, she will have it made. Those 5 little boys will be looking after her and watching over her. She won't be able to go anywhere. God help her boyfriend. Because they're going to be watching on her. And I watch all those little boys. We went to a ball game, and you can listen to what I tell you, and you will know who these kids belong to. There's one on the field taking charge. There's one on the sideline looking up at the guy beside him who's about 7 foot tall, and he's only about 2, saying, I want to go tackle somebody. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I want to go do that. The guy says, you can't tackle people. Can't do it. I do want to do it. I want to go tackle them, you know. And then there's 2 more sitting over there with their little stuffy noses. The one on the field taking charge, that's Amber's little boy. The one wanting to go tackle, that's Elizabeth's little boy. And it gets passed on and passed on and passed on. Matthew 12:34 says this as I get ready to close. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I had this thought, it's funny to me, and it may be inappropriate, I'm not very sure. But I'm going to say it anyway, forgive me. When a pirate goes out, and he's hunting his treasure, it's never called treasure, it's called booty. You know, he's going to find booty, what it's called. And if you don't know what your treasure is, listen to what you talk about. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what you have hidden in your heart, those treasures hidden in your heart, that's what you talk about. And I just busted out laughing like at 2 o'clock this morning because I was thinking, listen, is my booty good or does my booty stink? You know? And I encourage you to, I talk about my wife, I talk about my kids. I talk about my grandkids. I talk about you always in a good way. You know what? There may be some bad sheep here, but you my sheep. Ain't nobody going to talk about you. It's like, I don't know if you remember or not, Dallas with JR and Bobby Ewing back in the day, like the late 70s, the early 80s? And, those brothers would fight all the time. And they would say, we may fight, but there's nobody going to fight against us. We'll fight with each other, but nobody's coming in the circle to attack us. You know? And so we talk about our treasure. And as I close, hear me well, because it is the ultimate truth. You are God's greatest treasure. You are full of His image. And He talks about you all the time because you're in His heart, and it's from Genesis to Revelation. So I want you to go out of here today feeling value. I want you to go out of here today being proud that you're one of God's treasures. And I want you to just bask in that, because there is nothing greater than knowing you're loved. And you will never experience any greater love than Jesus. Never. So, thank you for being here. I sure do love you. You are a treasure. Harry Lee, he was a treasure. He was a treasure. And can you imagine how excited God was this morning at 3:45 to see his treasure? And how excited Jesus was to get to hug his neck because it's his treasure. Jesus done a lot for Harry Lee and for all of us. Enjoy that and don't be ashamed of it.